Our New Testament reading comes from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and then 14 through 17. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the other one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you at your baptism? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of our Lord. At the end of our passage reading from James this morning that I just read, James stated that faith by itself, so faith without works, is dead. James defined faith as having works and pointed out that if a person actually does have faith, then that faith would prompt and it would guide their behaviors, their actions. Essentially, James was saying that anyone can profess to be a believer. Anyone can say that they are a Christian. But if they aren't living the gospel out in their lives, then they actually don't have any faith. Recently, I was talking with a clergy friend of mine who is a Methodist minister, and he had just came back from the annual Methodist conference. This is a huge conference. It consists of Methodist ministers, church staff and personnel, one church representative from each congregation that's there. So as my friend was telling me about his experience, he started telling me about the opening ceremony, the person that was going to be leading the first lecture. And he said the person that was doing the opening announcements was very well-liked. He was well-known within the Methodist denomination, but he was having a hard time speaking. He was kind of fumbling over his words, losing his train of thought, just couldn't stay focused. Most of the folks that were there at this conference knew him. They knew him as an excellent and engaging speaker. So they thought that this was out of the ordinary. As this man fumbled along, he finally just stopped in the middle of what he was saying, and he said, "I know that I am stammering, I'm all over the place, I can't keep focused," and he said, "I couldn't get the coffee maker in the hotel to work this morning, so I haven't had my regular dose of caffeine." So 20 minutes later or so, they take a bathroom break, a water break, and during that time, three people had gone and gotten this man a cup of coffee. So when he came back to his podium, there were three large cups of coffee up here. And this man was very appreciative of the generosity, and he thanked them profusely, the anonymous coffee donors. But he had also gone on the break and gotten his own coffee. So he looked at his coffee, and he looked at the three cups that were sitting there, and he said, "I can't drink four cups of coffee. So how about we auction three of these off? We'll auction them off for Africa 360. Africa 360 is a nonprofit organization that works to eliminate poverty and hunger in Africa. So my friend that was telling this story was feeling rather generous that morning. So he decided that he was willing to pay $25 for one of those cups of coffee. So he gets his money out and he gets his $25 ready. And the keynote speaker, he picks up the cup of coffee and he says, "Who is willing to pay $50 for this cup of coffee?" My friend was not feeling that generous, so he put his money and his wallet back in his pocket. But sure enough, somebody raised their hand. They paid $50 for that cup of coffee. So the keynote speaker, he picks up the second cup of coffee, he raises it up, and he says, who is willing to pay $100 for this cup of coffee? And somebody raised their hand and paid $100 for that cup of coffee. So the keynote speaker picks up the third cup, and he raises it high, and he says, this is McDonald's coffee. This is good coffee. And he said, who is willing to pay $500 for this premium gourmet coffee? And somebody stood up, and they paid $500 for that cup of coffee. McDonald's coffee is good and all. Paying $500 for a cup of coffee is some serious inflation. But those three people who paid astronomical prices for that coffee that day, they weren't considering the inflated price. They weren't considering how good the coffee was even going to taste. They were considering the needs of the people in Africa. They were living their faith out in their lives. They were letting their faith guide and prompt their actions as they demonstrated such huge acts of generosity. Both of our Old and New Testament passages this morning remind us that part of being a Christian entails acting generously towards others. Proverbs 22:9, the verse that John read, states, happy are generous people because they give some of their food to the poor. The passage that I read to you all from James this morning said, imagine a brother or sister in need, someone in need of clothing and food. What if one of you was to say, go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal? Essentially saying, I don't really care, have a nice life. What good is it if you aren't actually giving them what their body needs? Both passages underscore how our faith is to be lived out in our lives, taking care of others, being hospitable, extending generosity at all times. I heard a story a long time ago, and the story has stuck with me ever since. It's about a girl who's in an airport. This girl is in an airport. She's waiting to board her plane. So she's sitting in a chair at the gate. And she's sitting there reading a magazine, trying to pass some time. So a man comes over to her, and they make eye contact. They smile politely at each other, and he sits down in the vacant seat next to her. There's a table dividing her seat and his seat. So she doesn't think much of it. She continues reading her magazine. Some time passes, and she decides to check her watch, see what time it is, how much longer until they're going to board the flight. So when she looks over to check her watch, she sees the bag of cookies that she had bought, and it's sitting on the table in between her and this gentleman. So she reaches down, she opens up the bag of cookies, she breaks off a piece, and she eats it. Well, the man reached over and put his hand in her bag of cookies, broke off a piece, and then ate it, and is smiling at her. And she's just kind of shocked by the whole thing, just trying to figure out how this man would have the audacity to reach his hand into her cookies, break off a piece without even asking, and is just smiling the whole time. So she's thinking, well, surely he won't do it again. So she doesn't say anything about it. She continues reading her magazine. A little bit of time passes. She reaches over into her bag. She breaks out a piece, and she eats it. The man does the same thing. And at this point, she's starting to get angry, and she's thinking, how in the world could he think this is possibly okay to eat my cookies? Blatantly taking advantage of my generosity after the first bite. But she still doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know how to handle the situation. So she just doesn't say anything. She keeps reading her magazine. So they keep going back and forth like this. She reaches in, takes a bite. He reaches in and takes a bite. Finally, they get to the end of the bag. There's one little piece of cookie left. And he reaches in, and he breaks it in half, and he slides the bag over to her, giving her the last bite. And she says, how in the world can this man give me the last bite of my own cookies? So she's fuming. She grabs the last bite and puts it in her hand. She stuffs her magazine in her carry-on bag, gathers her belongings, and storms off. So the airline comes overhead. They start boarding the flight. So this woman, she gets on her flight, she settles into her seat. The man is not sitting next to her or around her, so she is exceedingly happy about that. The flight takes off. They're in mid-flight. She decides she's going to read her magazine. She reaches into her bag to get her magazine. And when she reaches in, she finds her bag of cookies. Her full, uneaten bag of cookies. Yeah. Generosity can take on several different forms. A person can be seemingly generous, sharing their cookies with someone, all the while harboring anger, hating every minute of it, and not being generous at all, like the girl in this story. Or a person can be truly generous, allowing their faith to be lived out in their lives, allowing their faith to prompt their actions, behaviors, sharing their cookies happily with a smile on their face, all the way down to the last bite, like the man in this story. The difference in the two forms of generosity is that one of them is not really prompted by our faith. We are not called to care for others, act hospitable, and demonstrate generosity with a cold or angry disposition, loathing every minute of it. Our faith prompts us to demonstrate generosity from the heart, truly caring about the well-being of others, despite what it might cost us, and demonstrating generosity with a smile on our faces. So how can we live our faith out in our lives? How can we demonstrate generosity in our own community? As you all saw in the bulletin this morning, and as I talked about, there is still a great need in our community for the folks who suffered some damages from the storm that happened about a month ago. I know that it is hard to believe that folks are still in need. We've had a lot of warm days. It is exceedingly hot in here, so we forget that there are people that are still suffering from what happened over a month ago. There are people that lost major appliances. People's foundations have been wiped out. So these are large expenses. The long-term emergency relief team was here, and I met with them last week. And they are here to stay. They are setting up and they are staying. But they need people to coordinate the other volunteers. They need people to donate time for manual labor. They really need people to just sit down and offer counseling to some of these individuals. A lot of the people are suffering from PTSD. You know, when it starts raining here, they start calling the churches. They show up at the churches and they say, it's raining. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? So they need people to sit down with them and just help them to overcome some of those fears. To paraphrase what James said in our passage this morning, imagine a brother and sister who is in need. What if one of you was to say, go in peace. Stay warm, have a nice life. What good is it if you don't give that person what they need? We have an opportunity in our own community to help some folks who are in need. May we all live our faith out loud in our personal lives. May we choose to demonstrate acts of generosity with a smile on our face. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.